All right, beta blockers. Now, beta blockers block beta receptors. Now, there's two different types of beta blockers. There is selective beta blockers, which only block beta 1, and then we have non-selective, which block beta 1 and beta 2. Which one has more side effects? The non-selective. All right. Now, we use these for heart attacks. In a heart attack, a person does not have enough blood flow going to the heart. So the heart muscle begins to die because it doesn't have enough oxygen compared to its demand. Now, what the body does to compensate for that is it wants the heart to pump harder. Now, is that going to make the problem worse or better? It's going to make the problem worse because it's going to increase oxygen demand even more. So what we can do is we can give these drugs, which will block the beta and prevent the heart rate from going up and prevent the force of contraction from increasing, which will protect the heart from itself. We can also use it for heart failure. In a heart failure, the heart is trying to pump harder than it really can, and that begins to damage it. We can use it for angina pectoris, for chest pain. By giving these drugs, it lowers the work of the heart, which lowers its oxygen demand, which reduces chest pain. We can also use them for some dysrhythmias. Some dysrhythmias make the heart go too fast. We can slow the heart down with these drugs. You can also use it to treat hypertension, although it's not preferred anymore for hypertension. And then there's some other things we can use it for. Hyperthyroidism, migraine headaches. Anyone here have migraines? Anyone here on beta blockers for migraines? Tried it? Didn't? Okay. Can also use it for stage fright. Now, let's imagine for a moment. All right, how many of you have ever been pulled over by a cop? How many of you have ever seen those lights come on behind you? And what happens? You get that kind of cold shiver down your spine, and you start to feel a little bit shaky, and the officer asks your name, and you're like, you really can't get it out, and you ask for your wallet, and you're like, and you're like, what is wrong with me? Well, what's happened is you've had this massive dump of epinephrine into your system, and your body is amped up, ready to fight or flight, but that's not the appropriate response because they have guns. So you end up with this. So the same thing can happen when people are expected to perform. So, for example, public speaking, taking tests. And so we can use beta blockers to block the effects of that epinephrine release. So that when you get the epinephrine release, you feel like, hey, I don't feel anything. I feel great. So when the officer asks for your wallet, you're like, sure, officer, here you go. So we can use it for this. It's also been used for test anxiety. We can use them to treat pheochromocytoma. You know, when the cancer releases the epinephrine, on the one hand, we can block the alpha effects with alpha blockers. We can block the beta effects with beta blockers. And then we can also use them to treat glaucoma, although this is not nearly as common. All right, now let's talk about beta receptors again for just a moment. What do beta 1 receptors do in the body? Where are they, first of all? Two places. Heart and kidneys. Now, as it turns out, we really don't use beta blockers to treat kidney disease. So really, when we talk about beta blockers, you can think almost exclusively of the heart. So what three things does it cause in the heart? Inotropic, chronotropic, and dromotropic. And what does that mean? You guys didn't do your 20 vocabulary words, did you?
Contraction of the heart, chronotropic affects time of heart rate, and dromotropic affects electrical conduction.
All right, so what's ino? Contraction of the heart. So does it make it contract harder or softer?
Harder.
Harder. So it increases the strength of the heart. Now, does it make heart rate go faster or slower?
Faster.
And does it make the heart conduct electricity faster or slower? faster. So now, if we block beta with a beta blocker, what are we going to get? Slower heart rate, less contraction, and less electrical conduction. So notice that for heart attack, what we're doing is we're slowing the heart down and making it relax. Same thing for heart failure. Same thing for chest pain. For dysrhythmias, we're slowing down the conduction of the heart. All right, now, the adverse effects should seem fairly obvious. What's the number one? Low heart rate. Now, what's that low CO? What is that? Cardiac output. So if you're lowering heart rate and you're lowering strength of contraction, guess what you're going to have less of? Less blood being pumped through the heart. Now, that can cause lower cardiac output, which can actually precipitate heart failure, which is kind of interesting that a drug we use to treat heart failure can actually cause heart failure. We'll talk more about that next semester when we talk about the heart. All right, it can also cause AV heart block. This is a dysrhythmia where instead of going too fast, now you've blocked the conduction completely. So on the one hand, we can treat a dysrhythmia that's too fast, but a side effect is that we could actually cause a dysrhythmia that's too slow. And then rebound cardiac excitation. How many of you have ever been at a party and it's kind of loud and someone asks you a question and they can't quite hear you, so you raise your voice and at that moment the music goes off and you're yelling? Sorry. Ever seen it happen? Ever? Okay. So what happens here is when you give beta blockers, you block the heart's ability to respond to epinephrine and norepinephrine. So how does your body respond to that? It tries harder. And how does it try harder? It speaks louder. And when we say speaking louder, we mean releasing more epinephrine and norepinephrine. Now, this drug wears off. And guess what happens? Now you've got all this extra epinephrine and norepinephrine in the system. It can cause a rebound tachycardia, which can cause chest pain. So what we want to tell patients who are on beta blockers is do not stop taking them suddenly. What you want to do is you want to taper them down slowly so you can avoid this rebound cardiac excitation. Now, go ahead. Well, when it wears off, if you have this rebound, that's what will happen. Or can happen, I should say. Now, if we have a non-selective beta blocker, we'll get these additional effects. You can get bronchoconstriction, which is bad for what kind of people? Asthma and COPD. Now, COPD, what's that? It stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And it's really two diseases put together: emphysema and chronic bronchitis. So people with COPD and people with asthma shouldn't really take non-selective beta blockers. Next one is inhibition of glycogenolysis. So what that means is your liver is not going to produce as much sugar in times of stress because that effect is being blocked. Now, what kind of person might have some problems with that? Person who's diabetic. Now, as long as their blood sugar stays within the normal range or stays high, it's not a problem. But if they take a little bit too much insulin and their blood sugar goes low, then this can be a problem. Now, another problem that you can have with diabetes is as a person's blood sugar drops, they start to get irritable and they might feel a little bit shaky and get a headache. And that is actually being caused not by the low blood sugar itself, but it's being caused by an epinephrine release. Now, if you're blocking beta, what do you think happens to those effects? They go away. So a person doesn't realize they have low blood sugar, and that's for any beta blocker. So people who have diabetes, no matter whether they're on a selective or a non-selective, need to be careful because the effects of low blood sugar are going to be blunted because you're blocking those effects. All right, drugs that you need to know. Well, these are more than you need to know on here. The ones that are starred are the ones that you need to know. So you need to know whether they block beta 1 and beta 2 or whether they're selective. So propranolol is non-selective. It's the first one ever produced. Actually, it's the first modern drug that was specifically designed to take advantage of this newfangled receptor theory we've been talking about for the past 2 days. Selective, there's two of them that we need to know, metoprolol and atenolol. Metoprolol is used for blood pressure and for heart failure. Then we need to know carvedilol, which is also used for heart failure but not for blood pressure. Yes? Say again? No, it would actually make asthma worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, potentially.
How about
any beta blocker has the potential to make asthma worse. Okay, now the question was probably like which one would be more appropriate for it. Okay, now that would be metoprolol. And it's not that you'd use it to treat asthma, it's that the patient who has the propranolol, it could make their asthma worse, whereas the metoprolol won't make their asthma worse. Right. So it's a matter of propranolol will make asthma worse, metoprolol won't. So if I have to put them on a beta blocker, which one is appropriate? Not recommended.
And then the other one says the exact same thing, but it didn't say not recommended. It said, like, you know, it should be.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get for trying to take the quiz before we have lecture.
So, wait, which one did you say is best used?
All right. So, let's go back to here for a moment. All right. See this? Adverse effects of beta 2. Bronchoconstriction. So, right. So if you have a selective one, you only get these side effects. If you have a non-selective, you're going to get these side effects. So which is the non-selective drug that you need to know? Propranolol. So propranolol will have bronchoconstriction. Metoprolol, which is selective, will only have these. All right, so the four drugs you need to know, propranolol, metoprolol, atenolol, and carvedilol. Any other questions about beta blockers?